Welcome to episode 98 of the AWS podcast. I'm AWS Chief Evangelist Jeff Barr, coming to you from Sammamish, Washington on a quiet pre-Super Bowl Sunday morning. Today I've got another AWS Week in Review and an interview with Aaron Newman, founder and CEO of CloudChecker. Let's start with the Week in Review. We'll take a look at the major releases and some other news. First off, we published 20 customer and partner success stories. These are an awesome place to go if you want to learn more about how other companies are using AWS. If you've got some colleagues or some managers that are still kind of trying to get a sense of what AWS and cloud computing are all about, don't understand the how, the why, the benefits, the architectures, I'd encourage you to think about sharing a success story or two with them. The success stories are in either text or video form, and generally we will do them in the local language of the home country of whatever company that we are profiling. So you should be able to find in your own language a success story that also matches your organization and your industry. So take a look at the success stories. They're on the website. And think again about sharing those with your colleagues, with your managers, with anyone who's still just trying to get a better sense of what the cloud is all about. In the tech news side, we added a really important new feature to DynamoDB. So with DynamoDB, you've always had a lot of flexibility to add additional attributes, which in a traditional database you'd think of as columns. You can add those on the fly with no pre-declaration and no altering of tables. We've made DynamoDB more flexible by now allowing you to create what are called global secondary indexes on existing tables. In the past, as you might know, you had to actually create these indexes at the time when you created the table. By giving you this flexibility at runtime, you can now more easily adapt to changes in your operating conditions. Let's say you build an app, you're trying to get a better sense of how your customers are making use of that app, and you see that they're trying to retrieve information in a way that you hadn't thought of originally. With this new feature, you can actually add a new index to an existing attribute, and you can then add that new retrieval model to your application really easily. Also in DynamoDB, and something I was a little bit late in blogging about, we've simplified the process of purchasing reserved capacity for your tables. Reserved capacity means that if you have a good understanding of how many reads and writes you expect to do per minute on a long-term basis, either a one-year or a three-year basis, you can purchase this reserve capacity, earning a discount in the process. And what we launched a simplification of the process, so you can actually initiate this process directly from the AWS Management Console. We also reduced the minimum purchase you can make, and you can now purchase units of read and write capacity in units of 100 or more at a time. Really big launch for us was a product called Amazon Workmail. This is managed email and calendaring running on the AWS cloud. As I showed you in the blog post, you can create a Workmail organization in a couple of minutes with a couple of clicks and the entry of a name for the organization. Once you create that organization, you can either import users from your existing directory or you can add them from scratch through the console. Great highlight of Workmail is a large number of important security features. You can choose the location, an AWS region, where your email is stored. There's also a lot of different encryption features, both for data at rest and data in motion. There's control over mobile device policies and actions. You can remotely wipe a device if it is lost or stolen. There's also a full-featured Workmail web client. Full details, as usual, in my blog post. An in-depth article on Forbes.com profiled AWS Chief Andy Jassy. Andy talked about the origins of AWS, beginning when he and Jeff Bezos found that a lot of internal teams at Amazon were actually frustrated by the amount of time that it took them to get the necessary compute, storage, database, networking infrastructure. This frustration reduced innovation, slowed down experimentation. A bit more investigation turned out the same basic friction was in place at a number of other companies. And this was when the light bulb went on for Andy and for Jeff, and AWS was born. When you read the full article, you'll learn a whole lot about the analysis and the planning process that we do for every new service and business AWS. You'll get a really good sense of actually how we think about and how we run our business. Back on the tech side, the AWS SDK team sent me a guest post to give you a heads up that they are now working on an AWS SDK for Go. The SDK is already available on GitHub in a preliminary form. You're welcome to download it, try it out. If you make some additions, make some changes, even some bug fixes, send us a pull request. The team will be happy to take a look at it. We updated the Amazon Linux AMI and also Elastic Beanstalk in order to address a security vulnerability that the industry has dubbed Ghost. And this issue was also covered on the evident.io blog. When you take a look at my full week in review, you're going to see that I actually include links to posts on a number of other blogs. If you happen to be a blogger and you write articles that you think would be a good matchup for what I cover, which I generally think of as mostly technical with just a teeny tiny bit of marketing, I would not mind at all if you track me down and let me know. Either send me links to particular articles, or if you have a blog that you regularly cover the cloud and AWS in detail with really interesting and gory technical bits, would love to hear about you and what you do. I've got a lot of different developer and partner blogs already in my feed reader, but I'm always looking for more. I do actually read all the things that I uncover, and I include the highlights in my week in review. Added a couple of new products to the AWS Marketplace, including HVM versions of a bunch of Zen server products. I didn't even mention that I'd met earlier in the week with Andy and Michelle from Zend. They came up to Seattle. We had a great meeting in a local coffee shop. Learned about their newest Zend Server 8 release. Learned about the additions to Z-Ray, including an extensibility model that gives great visibility into the insides of applications running on top of Zend Server. And let's see, last but not least, as far as AWS news, I recapped a whole bunch of different AWS expansion launches. I covered Workspaces, Directory Service, CloudFront, Route 53, ElastiCache, and GovCloud. As you know, we generally like to launch new services in a single AWS region. And then over time, as customer demand grows, we will then expand that service out to other regions. We always like to hear from you, your feedback on the need for particular services in particular parts of the world. So never hesitate to let us know. Send us an email, tweet at us, post a note in the forum. We're all ears. We love your feedback. We're always happy to listen to whatever it is that you have to say. All right, and for part two of my podcast, I met with Aaron Newman, Aaron Klein, and Maya Kabasi, all of Cloud Checker. They traveled up to Seattle to have some meetings with members of the AWS team and also to host a local meetup. After the main part of our meeting, Aaron Newman and I sat down together, turned on the recorder, and we had a good discussion about what Cloud Checker is up to and how their customers are benefiting. Let's talk a little bit about what Cloud Checker is and what you guys do.
Okay, so Cloud Checker is it's a software as a service application that gives you visibility and control of what you have running in AWS. So AWS has just a ton of rich data that they can share with you. Everything from CloudWatch metrics, CloudTrail logs, detailed billing reports, just a rich set of data. And one of the things that I always say is there's never a lack of information about what's happening in your AWS account. It's all a matter of how do you make intelligent actions on that? How do you analyze that, understand what's going on? It's a big data problem. And so it's a good problem to have, but we give you tools to provide visibility and control of what you have running there, whether it's having hundreds of accounts you want to tie together, whether it's trying to do forensics of what's happening, whether it's trying to understand what's your costs and how does it apply to a department or to your environment versus your production versus your QA environment. Those type of visibility we give you.
How did you decide to get into this business?
Well, so, and I love to tell a story about one of my previous startups. This is my fourth startup, so I kind of do this for a living more, I think, because I'm unhirable at this point. But I love starting companies, and one of my last ones is a social media monitoring company. So we collected, this was back in 2005, 2006, we collected content from Facebook, from Twitter, from blogs, and we were literally collecting a couple hundred gigabytes of data of social media content, crunching that. So. Back then, your Amazon wasn't quite as mature as it was today. So we tried to build our own data center. So when that company got acquired, we actually spent about $8 million trying to build a data center. So going out there hiring data center people, buying SANs, you know, multiple $400,000 SANs, buying lots of hardware, and then renting office space, buying expensive internet connections in there, and it cost literally $8 million. So at the end of all of that, had the fire marshal in. He looked at it all and he said, this floor is not going to bear this load for very long. Move all the equipment out of there. And that was very much my aha moment where I said, oh my God, building data centers is the worst idea ever. You know, there's people that could do this at scale, have expertise. And so, you know, I decided at that moment my next startup was going to be around infrastructure as a service. And so, you know, when I finished up with that startup, started building tools that provide the visibility and control of what you have running in there. So
you thought you were going to be focusing on social media and you end up dealing with floor loads.
Exactly. I would spend 20% of my time on the value-added business and the rest of it dealing with, you know, how am I keeping my servers running? How do I keep the power from going out? How do I, you know, answer, you know, requirements from my customers about, you know, fire suppression systems, right? All stuff that doesn't matter. You know, and then even trying to get in compliance with all kinds of the audits, SOCs and, you know, FedRAMP and FISMA, all those type of things that, you know, Amazon does these out of the box, right? They have all those reports you can get rather than me trying to go out and hire somebody to get my application SOC certified or any of the tons of compliance reviews. They've already done it for me.
Now, what kind of customer finds CloudCheckr useful, kind of size and scale generally?
Well, so we've very much seen a transformation. We've been doing this about 4 years. And so for the first 2 years, 2.5 years, it was all about startups. Startups were the ones that really were the pioneers that were inventing this stuff, taking Amazon forward. So, and there were small startups, but there was also your a bit more mature startups. What we've really seen in the last, I think, 18 months and maybe even 12 months is a real transformation into the enterprise, where we're seeing real Fortune 100 companies that, you know, 18 months ago we started seeing them spend $10,000 a month on Amazon, maybe $25,000 a month. We're now at the point where we're seeing these type of guys spending hundreds of thousands and even starting to break into millions of dollars a month on Amazon. And you know, it's becoming accepted. It's always been just as secure. I always say Amazon security of their data center is way better than anyone else's security. If you're running your own security in your data center, it doesn't begin to touch on the quality and the level of dedication that Amazon security team does. Just because, because they're hiring and it's scaling way beyond that. So they have the minimum. They're factoring the highest common denominator, which is, you know, unless you're the CIA, right? Their security is going to be higher than yours. So we're starting to see enterprises accept that Amazon is not going away, that this is the wave of the future. This is the way. The same way in the 1850s, if you started a factory, you built a power plant that went along with that factory. You set up a water wheel or whatever it was. Eventually, people figured out that doesn't make sense for every factory to have its own water wheel. Why don't I just get electricity from this one source that does a really, really good job of optimizing it and getting rid of any efficiencies. We're in that same phase right now, where setting up servers, trying to figure out how to optimize the chip, you know, layout, doesn't make sense, you know, even for companies that are on, you know, have billion-dollar budgets for their IT, still doesn't make sense. You just have experts at Amazon to do that. Amazon bought a semiconductor company this week, right? And that was, you know, I think, and I don't have a lot of inside knowledge, but according to the press release, there's something about, you know, they have very specific technology about how to cool, you know, the way certain circuits work, right? That's the level of efficiency they're pushing. Nobody else can touch that. So let's leverage Amazon's expertise there and focus on our core businesses rather than that, sure, than doing that. And we're seeing huge ramp ups in the enterprises going from, you know, tens of thousands of dollars a month in spend up to millions of dollars a month, adopting it very quickly. People are getting excited about it. Reinvent was, you know, if you could get your CIO to go and reinvent this year, they walk out of there looking 180 degrees difference at the excitement that they saw, all the maturity, all the things that they walked out of there with. I think convinced a lot of CIOs, CTOs that this is a platform to start investing heavily in. You know, even when you have the CIO of the NSA doing the public sector breakfast, you know, there's a validation. If he's a big believer in security at Amazon. Who else can question security at that point?
Sure. At the point when you see these enterprises billing hundreds of thousands up into even millions of dollars per month, they're clearly way beyond dipping their toes in the water. Is that usually single production apps or multiple production apps or entire whole enchilada of everything they do?
Well, I mean, so absolutely that's multiple apps. That's hundreds of apps. And it's we see customers with hundreds, of different accounts tied together, some of them into a single consolidated bill, some of them into a dozen consolidated bills. So, there's lots of different configurations. It's definitely, some of them are trying to plan out, but, we all know that a lot of these are now accounts that just evolved, that just happened circumstance more than anything else. And now they're beginning to tie them together. They're beginning to say, okay, I need to have security best practices. I need to have change monitoring. I need continuous monitoring. I need all the practices that I had in my data center to make sure that I'm not going to get hit with a security audit failure, or I'm not going to get hit with an outage. They're going to put all those same best practices into here. So, but it's very difficult if you have 500 disparate accounts doing that. And that's a lot of what we as a company, CloudChecker, does to help you, is to tie all those together, give you panes into different groupings of those accounts, give you security best practices across all those, give you visibility into where your issues are, where you could spend less, optimize. Another key thing that I like to educate people on is your data center was a fixed cost. You bought your servers, and whether they ran at 1% or 90%, once you bought them, that was most of your cost. Now we're in a world where variable cost is all that matters, right? So if you're running at 1%, you're tearing up 99 cents out of every dollar. So you want your servers to be running at 90% capacity so that you're actually optimizing your cost, you're reducing that cost. And what I found is Amazon has a very different mentality than a lot of other companies, where they say, why on earth would I want to help my customers spend less, right? Most companies say, well, we need to increase the sales to that person for next year to keep up with cost of living and all that. Amazon's attitude is always, how do we actually reduce your bill? And it's a really interesting perspective, but it is a long-term viable, we're going to drive all the inefficiencies out, we're going to create a viable business model, and we don't have to operate on 40% margins like their competitors do. They're used to operating on 1% margins, and they're doing a great job, and it's working, and long-term, it's good for Amazon, but you know what? It's good for the whole world. Because we're making it cheaper to build apps, we're making it cheaper to put out apps, and we're building a better world like that. So I really think it's an awesome thing.
Definitely makes sense. So given on when we're looking at the cost side, are there kind of typical and sometimes even really dramatic cost savings numbers you might be able to share with us?
Well, so I still am amazed by how little people use RIs, reserved instances, and not just at the EC2 level, but on your RDS databases, on your ElastiCache, on your Redshift. People still seem to not understand all the concepts around it, and they still seem to struggle with purchasing it. And if you look at the typical break-even, a break-even for an RI is typically 4 to 8 months, depending on exactly what you're buying. Now, who has an app that they know is going to be around in 4 to 8 months?
Yeah.
So there's very little risk, actually. And what's even more interesting is now Amazon's done a great job. December 2nd, they announced a whole new model around RIs. And they offered a really interesting one that's called No Upfront, which means you don't have to put any cash up. At least in the past, somebody could make the argument that, well, I don't have the cash to put up front to buy this RI. Today, you don't have to put a dollar up there. So the vast majority of people should be going out there and at least converting half of their infrastructure, the half that they know is going to stick around for the next 9 to 12 months, which ought to be pretty reasonable to do, and just get your no upfront RIs right away. Because you're talking about savings of 50%+, maybe for no upfront, it might be more like a 40% up savings. But when you're starting to see bills for $1 million a month, as some of these big enterprises are, that makes a significant savings. So RIs is just, it's a no-brainer, but the vast majority of people still aren't using it.
So. Okay, well, I'll take that as a personal challenge to make sure that I continue to spread the word on RIs. Let's see, what else should we talk about? Tell me a bit about the different AWS services that you either make use of in your implementation or that you, you know, pull data from and use to produce your analysis and your reports.
Well, so, you know, again, there's one of the things, and I always talk about when you're trying to compare different clouds, a lot of people like to talk about, well, which one has slightly more CPU and which one's slightly less expensive, and there's always a cost war, and I say that's irrelevant. It's not irrelevant totally, but it's not the important piece of it. The important piece of what Amazon's built is not hardware, it's software. It's the services they put around this hardware. The hardware is a commodity, and maybe one of the competitors can up their prices this week or down their prices this week by 1% and get ahead, and then Amazon will react, and that, you know, and that's all good for the environment as well. But really, what's way more important is the fact that with Amazon, you're getting whatever database you want, whether you need a warehouse so you can use Redshift, whether you're an Oracle shop, whether you're a SQL Server shop, whether you're a MySQL shop, whether you're a Postgres. It's really the maturity of the platform and whether you really want a whole brand new one, Aurora, that just changes the landscape as well. But you know, you have a full audit system, CloudTrail. You have you want really detailed billing records. Amazon gives you a file that has breakout by the hour, by the resource, by the operation and usage type. It gives you such a rich set of data. There's just no lack of visibility anymore. You know, if you want CloudWatch metrics, you want to know exactly what the CPU this hour was for this EC2 instance, you got it. Amazon provides it out of the box. And that's the richness of the platform, the maturity of the platform, that is the important part of why Amazon is so powerful. You know, it's not because they provide a better CPU, and they do a lot to provide a better CPU, but I probably can't tell that as a consumer. I just consider it more important the other things that are around there. The integration between Redshift and RDS, and how does that integrate with S3, and you know, how do my EC2 instances, you know, how can I, you know, it's just the integration of the package that provides real value. And again, that's what makes my life at CloudChecker easy, is that I have no lack of information, no lack of visibility. What our value is providing the intelligence on top of that. Amazon's providing a rich, rich stream of data. We're providing the intelligence to know, okay, you have CloudWatch metrics that can tell you when an RDS database is about to run out of space. Now, but if you have 300 accounts, how do you know where to look to see that before it happens? So that's the type of thing out of the box that CloudChecker will tell you, so you don't have to go search for that. So, but we can't do that without Amazon. As well, you know, you need that capability across all those accounts to be able to filter the right events. You get CloudTrail. CloudTrail is an awesome service. It provides every action that's done on the API, but it's such a fire hose of data that how do I direct security events to the right security people? How do I direct things around my inventory to the IT department? How do I know when an IAM policy is changing and direct that to the right department so they can approve it? So those are all the next questions. Those are the next maturity level that we're providing for Amazon.
Awesome. So last big question. Assuming our listeners find this really interesting and think this is perfect for my organization, how do they engage with you? What's the working model?
Absolutely. So we're software as a service. So you just go up to CloudChecker. So that's, you know, we're missing the last E, you know, so that's what you have to do to be a cool startup these days. So CloudChecker without the last E. Go up there. There's a free 2-week trial. You can point at your AWS account and you can see exactly what's going on. You can learn about, hey, do you have an open S3 bucket or do you have idle RDS databases that you could save X dollars at. Very, very easy to do, you know, so I'd encourage you to go out. We love to get feedback from people, try it out, let us know what you like and don't like, and you know, a very customer driven, very engineering driven, and so go very deep with Amazon. So would love for you to try it out, let us know.
Awesome. Well, Aaron, thanks for taking the time to sit down and talk with us today.
Thank you.
And that's our podcast for the week. As always, like to thank you for listening. For more information on anything that I mentioned, consult the AWS blog. Follow me on Twitter. I'm at Jeff Barr. And you should also follow this podcast at AWS Podcast on Twitter. We love your feedback. We're always listening. And let us know what we need to do better, differently, more, less, and so forth. Have a great week.